Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, I'm Kristen Welker in for Lester. We begin tonight with a new front in the war on COVID-19. That new, more contagious strain of the virus, first identified in Britain, has now been found in two U.S. states, Colorado and now California. There are new questions tonight about just how widespread it already is. This as health officials vow to pick up the pace of the vaccine rollout after acknowledging the effort has fallen.
You need a bingo, watch the news. All of the prophecy coming true. He sent his son to die for you. Follow his steps, you make it through. Euphrates River's drying up. The 12 tribes don't rise up. The devil knows it's time up. Messiah coming, I'm fired up. Rumors of war, we at the door. This tribulation, please endure. In your patience, possess your soul. Earthquakes and pestilence coming more. Come up out of my people. Default Dundee is so much evil. Deep players is coming, they won't leave you. Famine nuclear missiles gon' kill that eagle. We got angels, they got demons. For the most I protect you and keep you. The love of many gon' ask call. And this tribulation gon' let you know. Your truth, they truth, my truth. His life, his death, the truth. No vaccine gon' mean some sacrifice. Would you lose it all to leave after life? Deep plays are coming to the earth. America about to get hurt. Keep having visions, I'm alert. Babylon is going down, is in his word. Come up out of my peace. Jeremiah 50, pray I see you. I'll be sing angels, cause we need you. Having visions, I keep seeing yelling and screaming. A fake Messiah coming, don't let him deceive you. All them signs and line wonders gon' be evil. Messiah opening them seals. Keep them commandments, y'all, cause his body be real. Lockdown's coming back. Them plagues coming, nobody could send them back. Hold back your wings, heal your elect. Hold back your wings, heal your elect. You need a repent, go watch the news. All of the prophecies coming true. He sent his son to die for you. Follow his steps, you make it through.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome. Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Micah Israel. And today, well, I was hoping we can also let the Holy Spirit guide our conversation, but I was hoping we can talk about Israelite movement, you know, what it is, what it ain't, you know, where is it going to go, and how does it affect everybody around us? That's what I was kind of hoping we can get into, you know, just kind of like fishing, you know, any newcomers just watching the show or people on the fence or, you know, people in other beliefs that may be tuning in. I was kind of hoping that maybe a show like this one, and talking about the whole movement in general, could, you know, lighten that path where you can see a little bit better and jump aboard, I'm hoping. You know, all praises to that if that happens. All right, so. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping we can get into, and let me go to my call board and see who done tuned on in. All right, I hope y'all can hear me pretty good. Let's see here. All right, all right. We got Sister Thel and Brother Ronald from Lost and Found Israelites. All right, let me open their mics up. Shalom, shalom, family. How y'all doing?
Shalom. Yes, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
All right, all right. Here we go. Once again, it's on. Yeah, I was kind of hoping that we can, if y'all heard the opening topic, I was hoping that we can get into, what the Israelite movement is, what it isn't, and, and what people that's on the fence or don't really know too much about it, what should they take from it, And that's what I'm hoping our conversation can be to this go around. All right. So, I hope everybody's all right today and doing pretty good today.
Yep.
I'm not too long ago woke up. So, this idea, this topic just kind of just came to me right here when I was, prepping for the show. So, I hope it can be a good talking point and open up a good dialogue, for everybody to kind of tune in and talk about things, Brother Ronald, you got to open a scripture and point us to the right direction, brother? What Israelite is, what it isn't, what's a good scripture that defines us, what's going on right now with this Israelite movement?
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
1 Corinthians, that's by Paul. Okay.
Yeah.
Paul letter to the Corinthians. That defined an Israelite.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, even though we know that Paul was an Israelite and he evangelized to the Gentiles. Is that what you're... That's the...
He was not just speaking to the
Gentiles.
He was speaking to the Gentiles that were... Do you remember what you said? That you used to think that she was Gentile?
Yeah,
he was speaking to the 10 tribes that got cast out.
Yeah, that they thought they were Gentiles, and you really have to just cover everyone. It's really. Yeah, but I just wanted to point that out. But you say 1 Corinthians
chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 6 and 7.
Okay, I'll read it.
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 through 7. All right. I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God that giveth the increase.
Read that again in verse 7.
Verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God that giveth the increase.
Yes.
Okay. Apollo is another minister, Israelite minister, that is also, ministering, and his he got a good-sized following. All right, and I guess this right here was talking to the many people they're all connected. All the churches are supposed to be connected on the same page, but I believe this letter to the Corinthians was hitting on the fact that their boat is leading everybody to God. You know what I'm saying? Not like who... no private interpretation, who got the answer, who don't, or who the better pastor, who not. This scripture is basically saying that God is behind both of them. You know what I'm saying? And all glory goes to God. Okay.
Yes.
I think this scripture is what it was kind of hitting on.
So he's the only one that can give an increase on the movement of the Israelite movement. But he's going to get an increase because the Bible said a remnant is going to be saved out of all. He's going to save a remnant, you know, of Israel, and he's going to save a remnant of the nations that joined themselves to Israel. See, so he's going to get an increase. You know, yeah.
Oh, okay. I let you go ahead, brother. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm finished.
Yeah, so
I'm
God is going to give the increase.
He's going to give because right now, a lot of people know that we're Israel, but the nations they're not recognizing that we are the true people of the book. But when Christ comes back, they're gonna recognize who we are. You know what I'm saying? Right now they're not doing it because they're in charge right now. The nations, the Gentile nations are the head right now. Well, when Christ comes back, they're gonna be the tail. You know, so we got to wait until Christ comes back in order to set up His kingdom and organize us as a nation. Because right now both houses are still split. The Southern Kingdom and the Northern Kingdom, both houses are still split. But when Christ comes back, both houses are gonna come together. As one.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. So nothing is going to happen until Christ comes back. But he's gonna give an increase on the people that he's gonna save out of Israel and also out of the nations that's gonna be service to Israel in the kingdom. That's all I have.
All right.
Okay.
And then too for the Israelite movement, you know, people waking up, you know, listening, and I look at it as though there's you have to look at the people as and not just to say Israelites and Gentiles. I'm talking about the fleshly person and the spiritual person. So we all have a spiritual connection. I believe, you know, if we just think about it, no matter what it may be, but there are some that just goes after whatever the flesh, you know, the desires and you know, that type thing. But as a spiritual person, they're going to try to examine themselves. They're going to try to find out. So when they hear something and it's just, you know, and it touches their heart, just like you said, the Most High is the one that's going to have, you know, create the increase, but we have to just keep talking so others can maybe hear and open up their hearts, their minds and hearts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the spiritual side of a person, So they have to have that spiritual, I don't know, within them to want to know, you know.
Exactly. I agree with that.
So that's be it Gentile or, you know, an Israelite. We all want to go to the same place. We all want to be saved. It's just that living in the here and now is the problem. And it's like, whoa, I can't wait until the Messiah comes back. It's so difficult living in today's times. And you hear and see so much is going on. It's just so sad.
Yep.
All right. I got a scripture, y'all. It's just, I'm going to kind of go to Paul to myself. All right. Paul did one behind the most books in the New Testament. So, I mean, you can't miss them, right? Let's see. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 9. Verse 1. Let's see. 1 through 4, I guess. Or 1. Let's go through 5 too, I guess. 1 through 5.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. Six is awesome, too.
Okay, just go ahead
six,
and read.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Everybody there?
Yes.
Okay. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promise, who are the fathers and whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Okay. All right, all right. That's a lot being said right there, ain't it?
Well, yes. I'm waiting to listen to what you.
Well, the part that sticks out to me, several parts that sticks out, is verse 4. And he said, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption? You know, Paul's ministry got some adoption in it,
mm-hmm.
and the glory, and the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an S mm-hmm. on the covenant, right? The giving of the law, and
mm-hmm.
the service of God, and the
sure.
promises, right?
Promise.
All right, all right.
That's
and then it says, who the Israelites, who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. So, yeah, definitely that right there says that Paul had no idea about the virgin birth. But I'm just saying, you know, he mentioned the genealogy right there, on whom that Christ came. I just kind of wanted to kind of hit on that a little bit, you know what I'm saying, because even though it's not shared through all Israel, you know, that virgin birth, immaculate conception, wasn't in this time period. It didn't really. I know you got something to water throw in there, Sister Dale, but I just kind of want to throw that in. That that's modern day time. That whole epiphany kind of came to the reader. All right. During the time, they didn't look at it that way. All right,
and
so I just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
It,
go ahead.
According to that scripture, it says also where it says, whose are the fathers and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God, Yah, bless forever. And I go back to the spiritual aspect of it all. You know, it's almost like it doesn't matter who your biological human father is. If you are a child of the Most High, he is your father. Now, mind you, I'm thinking that he's saying that y'all bless the fathers, whomever they are, because if you're here and you're his child and you're doing his will and you're following his commandments and keeping his statutes and whatever, whomever your father, your biological or your human father, that he is superior. He is the father of all fathers. Now, and I'm thinking that's spiritual. He's talking spiritual there. So maybe you can comment more on that for me. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Does that make
any
type of sense? Or I'm just thinking that he's, because Paul is trying to reach everyone more or less, and he don't know who's who, but, you know, he made mention that because he wants to kind of demote the comments and the fears about who, how Christ came. He tried to minimize the efforts put into that by saying that y'all blessed them all. You can comment on that. That's just my way of my opinion. But my opinion is of a person that's been in Christianity all of her life, okay? So, you know, you can tell me and read that, because now scriptures have totally different meanings from what I've learned and thought of. Now I read the scripture and it totally is different. So you can explain that to me, and what do you think about that? Because Paul was ministering to all Gentiles and Israelites alike, because he didn't know who was who. We were all under the curse, and we all thought of ourselves as Gentiles. So whether you think yourself as a Gentile, you must put your trust and your faith and your hope in the Most High, your Father, your Creator. I mean, you know, and if he anointed his spirit, sent his spirit into a human person, then that's what matters. Spiritually matters. I don't know, brother. You can comment on that if you like. Brother Ron?
Okay. Well,
yeah,
no,
yes,
I understand what you... Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, Brother Ron.
Yeah, I don't believe that Christ was born through sex. That's not true, because the Bible says, "Is there anything hard for God?" And we know that the first Adam was not born through sex. The first Adam that sinned,
mm-hmm.
God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus Christ, Yahweh Shah didn't come by sex. Because if he would have came by sex, it means that he would have came from Adam's seed. And we know he didn't come from Adam's seed. He came to take on Adam's seed, you know, because we were sinners. Christ didn't sin not one time. You know, if he would have came by sex, that means that Joseph and Mary would have been stoned to death. You know what I'm saying? And the Bible says that he knew her not. He knew her not until Christ came.
Yeah.
So if he didn't know her, that means that they didn't have sex.
Yeah.
You know, until Christ came. You know, so everybody has their own understanding, but
yeah.
I'm gonna read what the scriptures say. I'm not gonna add or take away from the scriptures. You know, so.
Okay. Do you
and
add in the part that he's from the seed of David?
Yeah, I've read that
do
part. I've read that part.
Do you believe it?
But he came to take on the seed of David.
I know, but it didn't say he came to take on. He said he is from. I mean, do you believe that part?
Yeah, I do. Yes, yes, yes.
So, I mean,
yes.
How do you make it make sense?
You remember, now if you read, when you say, if you go to Matthew chapter 1, when it says, he begat, if you go to the, Matthew chapter 1, Aaron begot, meaning that they had sex, so-and-so.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Samson begot Boaz. It means that they had sex. You know, you don't say nothing about Jesus and Mary, that Joseph and Mary begot and had Christ. You don't say that in here. You know, so... Because Christ was born, he came through
the... You said 1 and 16?
He came... No, 1, Matthew chapter 1. When it says begot, all these begot means that they had sex together.
Yeah.
If you read, I don't want to go through all of it, but that's what it says. When it says begot, that means that they had sex. And that's how...
That's the book of generations of Jesus Christ. Yeah, the son of David.
Yeah,
the son of Abraham.
He didn't want to go through all those begats
and stuff. It just says who all came before him.
Right. And on 16 it says Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ.
Through marriage, yeah.
It didn't say that.
Through him. It doesn't, I'm saying is, but through Joseph. Joseph and Mary apparently became a couple.
All right. One thing we got to be for sure. We got to set this guideline down before going to this subject that Christianity is the number one belief system going back a little ways now, and they put our Bibles together. We got to be able to search the scriptures and look at it for what it is, but understand that there just may be some bones in this fish.
But
now, go ahead.
No, I'm listening
go
to
ahead,
you,
Sister
sir.
Phil.
No, I was just saying, doesn't it kind of really goes right back to the fleshly person and the spiritual person? So if we're going to talk about fleshly things, then you be talking about fleshly things. If you want to talk about spiritual things, and then you go into the supernatural, you go into the spiritual aspect of it, and then you eliminate the human body.
Yeah.
I mean, is that another way of looking at this?
Oh, yeah, but yeah. All I'm saying is that when we start talking about marriages and babies, I think we're saying that we're talking about the flesh.
We
got quotes from prophets saying that he's going to come through the lineage of David, then we're kind of talking about the flesh at that point, ain't we? But, I mean, we can go to the spiritual and we know that he's the Son of God. And we can talk about the spiritual, but right now, the subject that we're hitting on is about his birth, his conception and birth. That's all.
I understand.
We already know who he is. Okay.
Well, that's the spiritual person. The spiritual person is going to keep everything spiritual. They want to keep everything spiritual, if you understand my thinking.
Okay.
I mean, you wanna step outside of your fleshly thoughts and what have you, and you wanna look at the spiritual and the supernatural part of it all, the equation, everything there. And so I would just say that when you're dealing with those two aspects of, as I know, coming out of Christianity. And I understand the fleshly person. I think it's life according to the flesh, 1 Corinthians 3:3. and then 1 Corinthians 2:15, talking about the spiritual person. So I'm just saying, you might have to eliminate the fleshly part of it all, and just
eliminate,
and that's the way you have to. You said you have to come to some kind of understanding.
Can we go
to
Matthew right quick?
All right, I'm in Matthew.
Can we go to Matthew chapter 1:18?
18.
Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay, you want me to read it? 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Before they came together. See, I'm just saying. before they came together, she was fine with Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Reed?
And so do you associate before they came together as sex or the marriage ceremony?
No, before they got married. I mean, before they it says they was engaged, but he said before they came together, she was fine with Charles. She was already pregnant. She was already pregnant. Already.
Yeah.
Before they had sex.
Okay, it don't say that. It don't say before they had sex. It said before they came together.
It said, she was fine with y'all.
But, you know, you have to go back in the history and you have to understand that, you know, Mary was in a area and a place for a while there among a nuns and pretty much under guard. But, you know, you have to decide on the wording.
Can we keep reading? Keep reading.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Okay. We can read it. I don't mind. But I just want the listener to understand that, well, this right here that we're hitting on is controversial. However, the Israelite movement consists of diverse. All Israelites are not the same. All right?
Yeah.
Meaning myself, I believe that literally you got to scratch what you done learned through the years and start over. All right? These scriptures, these ancient records of the Israelites, they got fingerprints of the enemy all on there. I believe that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I do. I believe they're the ones that put this book together. They're the ones that gave us a Negro or slave Bible. They are manipulative, you know, and they dressed it. They kept most of it about the same, but at the same time, there's a lot of little things they probably left out, you know what I'm saying, or put in. We need to have our guard up and reading this book, period. That's what I believe, all right? Because we, as Israelites, we didn't make this book. We didn't put the scripts together. That's our slave master did. All right? All right. So with that said, let's keep reading. All right. See here. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man.
You didn't finish. You didn't finish. The end of
18.
You didn't finish 18.
Finish 18.
Okay. Do you want me to read it again?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead and start over.
Okay. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. See, it's the word espoused right there. That means they was kind of like engaged, right,
yes.
To Joseph.
Yeah.
Now, comma.
Yeah.
Before they came together, meaning the marriage ceremony, right? So between the engagement and the ceremony.
I assume that was bodily coming together, but go ahead and complete your thought.
She's right about that before they came together bodily. Go ahead, keep on.
She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Huh?
Of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Okay, keep reading.
Okay. Now we are going to 19. Then Joseph, her husband, they're calling him her husband, not her engaged partner or something like that, being a just man, is not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things.
Go ahead. Keep reading.
Let me read 19 again. Then Joseph, her husband at this point, all right, husband, being a just man. Ceremony hasn't started yet, y'all. This is an engagement. She was found with child. Now Joseph is her husband now, is what the book reads. Being a just man.
Well, that time's not our time now. Yeah.
And not willing to make her a public example,
was minded to put her away privily.
Stop right
but
there.
While
stop right
he
there.
Thought
on, now,
okay.
Now, if you got caught in adultery, what did they do in the Old Testament? They stoned you to death, right?
That's right.
So he said he didn't want to do that to her. We keep reading. This is what the angel said. This is because God sent an angel to Joseph to explain what's going on. Keep reading, verse 20.
Yeah, but let me throw that in there. Joseph, her husband, was minded because she's pregnant before the ceremony, which that means the fear is that she would not, when they lay on that white sheet, she was not, no blood was going to be on that sheet because she's no longer a virgin. And everybody's going to know that she's probably not a virgin or with child at that point.
But he wasn't going to let that happen.
This is a scary situation
that
happened.
Yeah, but that didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
I know it didn't happen.
I know.
Okay.
I know. I'm just saying.
You're creating
the culture. I'm bringing the culture
that.
In the conversation. Okay. Brother Michael,
let me also interrupt you to say this too. That's something that we may be overlooking here.
Okay.
When you're espoused in those days, those times, you are said you are the wife of. Once it was pronounced that you two are going to be espoused, that is your wife and that is your husband. That is even before the ceremony that you call, maybe whatever it was, jumping the broom, whatever it was. But if that's going to be your wife, then that's your wife. That's your wife and that's your spouse. And we have to also think in account in those times because, you know, they didn't have clocks on the wall and they didn't have they went by the calendars and the moon and all this type of thing. So, you know, it was in that time space and I just wanted to just bring that into the picture that once you become a spouse to someone, you're pretty much their spouse. And do you not
okay.
Think on that or what?
Well, I understand why you want to say that because she's pregnant and, you know, because she's pregnant before the ceremony, right? And
no,
see,
I'm,
the argument of Christianity. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying that because even the old laws that we had a couple of hundred years ago or less or more, if you live with someone for a certain period of time, you're their spouse. It's common law. It's a common law
right.
type situation here. So we don't know
uh-huh.
how much time has passed when they said they was going to be espoused. But
well,
and
this culture
getting,
that we're reading,
the house ready. I know, but I'm just injecting some other thoughts into that. Okay, I'll let you
yeah.
go ahead.
When this culture that we read is when you have sex, you consummated your marriage. You are the husband at that point through consummation of the marriage. Period. In this culture,
okay,
all right.
Let me ask you a question. So if you just go out randomly and go out to a club say one night and you meet somebody and you have sex with her and you don't see her no more. And you do that again. You keep doing it again. Are those your wives? Are those your wives legally? That's kind of fornication.
Or spiritually.
That is fornication.
Huh?
That
yeah.
is fornication.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because there was no intent for y'all to be together and start a relationship or anything like that. Which in this culture that we're reading, that was a heavy no-no, worthy of death.
Yes.
But yet if you
okay,
take a woman.
Read?
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay,
see, this is
gotcha.
I'm just saying.
But if you get a woman and you lay down with her,
but,
that becomes your wife
yeah,
in this culture we're reading. And there's a ceremony
yeah,
in that
yeah.
process. All right.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
So.
Verse 20.
Okay. We are in 20. Now, he was minded to put away privily. Okay. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All right, 22. Now all
now
this was done.
Now it's in it. Go ahead.
No, you wanted to highlight, let's see, was it 21? Okay.
No,
now all of this.
21 that...
Is it 21 that you...
Come on,
Brother Ronald, don't hold back on me.
20, I'm just saying 20, it says the angel appeared to Joseph, and he says, fear not, you take the Mary of thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So this is what's spiritual. This is when Joseph and Mary having sex. This was of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying that's what it says.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it didn't say it was that Joseph and Mary had sex.
So
gotcha.
Yeah,
and it also says. Well, go ahead.
Huh?
You said
I mean,
make
that,
what's
that? That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That's the part I want to show you right there. Yeah.
All right.
That it wasn't by sperm that she got pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit.
It's not by sperm, then it's not by the seed of David. Then if no sperm is involved. Because
you
can't say seed of David and not have sperm, huh?
But I think that if you say it's not of the seed of David, then you're going against y'all totally.
Yeah, if you say it's not of the seed of David. You see what I'm saying?
You're going against y'all totally.
If it's not the seed of David, I'm sorry.
Let me just put myself on mute.
Go ahead, sister. Say what
you're
gonna say.
I was just saying that he's the son of Yah,
and that's what it is. To agree with Yah.
This is how I see it. I'm just gonna go with the spiritual, personal relationship I have with the Most High, and what He put in my heart. I have to go spiritually. I can't go with those physical body parts. That's irrelevant to me. I'm on a spiritual plane. I'm dealing with a spiritual, almighty, most high God here. Anything under the sun is possible because you can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't touch it. And until we feel that in our hearts and our spirits, then this totally is it's just something that's we're just making conversation about. Because whatever they put in print may or may not be right. But the spirit that comes from the book, the spirit of all the words that grabs you by the heart and the soul, you know, and tell you that this is a mystery. We know this book was written by a group of people unknown to us that didn't know who we were going to be four or 5,000 years in the future. Things have changed, but His spirit doesn't change. Now, that's my thoughts on it, and from that, I'm going to put myself on mute.
I definitely agree.
Because I don't want to. It's because it's just that sometimes I think we're talking about some things that I just want to know my father And I just want to know what I have to do to be, you know, his child as an Israelite woman here. I want to know where I come from. I can tell you that right now, I question who my biological father is. But it is irrelevant when it comes to the Most High, because I found a father. And so how I got here to be on this planet, to me, at this point, it doesn't matter, because I have a personal relationship with him. I know it's hard to understand, but going back to the pleasure person and the spiritual person, I have to think on the spiritual plane here. I can't think flesh no more, because flesh, bodies, way people see people, think, it's all wrong. Because the Most High is looking through, he's a spirit, and he interacts through everything.
Exactly.
People, the weather, the nature, the animals. So whether or not we touch or not touch is irrelevant. Whether or not they got it right is irrelevant. But we have to kind of also go with what the word says, and we also have to go with what our spirit tells us. And if you have a personal relationship with the Most High through his Savior, the Lamb, the Messiah, then they're going to give you that understanding and that wisdom to open up your heart and say, you have to look at this in a different way. So don't just really believe everything you read, because I'm coming into your heart and you're not going to be able to read it. You're not going to be able to feel it, but it's going to be there and you're going to know it's me, that spirit.
Gotcha.
And so I just wanted to point that out to you.
All right. Don't go on mute, Sister Thale, because if I'm reading a scripture that'll run your way, I don't want that. All right? I don't want that. All I'm saying, the show's topic is about what the Israelite movement is about, but the Holy Spirit took us here. The Holy Spirit took us here. All right?
In our conversation that we had on the show.
All right? I'll come to you, Brother Ronald. I'll come to you.
This is
a controversial topic amongst Israel, amongst Christianity as well. All right? But as we hit the reset button and speak in the Father's faith, we started over. We didn't build upon the knowledge of Christianity that we learned before. See what I'm saying? We started over.
Understand.
Okay? And we call that whole process being reborn again. You know, we're not building on top of what we learned all our lives. We hit the reset button on all that, and we're starting over. And one thing we can be clear about is that we do believe that Christ is our King, is our High Priest, is our Lamb, and also our brother, and the Son of the Living God. That's one thing we got in common with Christianity and understanding on that part. That's clear, fine. But if what we're talking about, I know you not too long ago coming out of Christianity, so therefore, in the Israelite world, we will say that you're like a baby, right?
Yeah, so I agree.
You don't feed a baby meat or a steak, right? You feed them milk. And I understand that, and what I'm talking about is controversial, that may be going over your head or something that you don't want to talk about. I understand. But I'm on the meat, all right? I'm that child eating meat, okay? I'm a little bit more, a little older, all right? And what I'm seeing is when I take into account of the history of this day, his disciples, everybody around him, his mother and his brother, and all these folks around here, nobody
seem to be on the same page that Joseph is not his father. Now, that is the point. Truth, we worship our Father in the spirit and in truth. And that truth right there is something that nobody can deny. All right? After reading this book, in hindsight, we reveal that Joseph is not the father. In reading this book, you know what I'm saying, in hindsight, after this done happened, all right, when us reading it, we can see that this epiphany that Joseph is not the father. However, if you look at the characters in the book all around here, nobody is on the page saying that Joseph is not the father. Nobody. Just us, thousands of years later. That is the truth. And we worship our Father in spirit and in truth.
So what do you want me to do with that, brother?
Well, add it to your collection about seeking the Father faith, your journey.
I know. I have a personal relationship with the Most High myself already.
Okay, that's great.
So you're telling
great.
Me I don't have a, you know what I'm saying? So I
you don't have a relationship?
And I do. I do have a personal relationship.
I know. Are you saying that I'm saying you don't have a relationship? I don't.
I know, but I'm seeking his face right now. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I am. I'm seeking his face. I'm trying.
Okay.
So I'm just
Don't go on mute.
I'd like to learn more and everything. Of course I do, but I you didn't say anything. I love the Most High.
Oh, I do. I do love the Most High.
And, you know, I know that I have a lot to learn. But is that going to alter my love for the Most High and the Messiah?
Alter? By learning?
Is that supposed to, what is that going to do for me now? Is what I'm saying. How are you saying to look at that topic is going to affect me and my journey now? How is that supposed to affect me in my journey now, knowing that? I just want to know that much. Is that supposed to help me? I'm just asking.
How does it affect your salvation or soul or things like that?
How is it supposed to help me be person?
No. I came in the world would not affect your path going forward.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
No, the stuff you need, we're going to call that milk. All right?
Okay.
And that milk is going to get you there. Okay? It's going to give you all the vitamins in it that you need to grow. All right? But what I'm talking about is me, is to be well-rounded with the scriptures and not walk in ignorance. Going forward, that's all. It's enlightenment about this particular subject that doesn't matter.
That subject needs to be given at a certain time, but not when you're trying to find out who you are. That's not
this show is about the Israelite movement and what's out there and what people are seeing out there, and the Holy Spirit drifted us to this conversation here.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
It's just that when you're trying to learn about, you know, truth, and I understand
but don't come. All I'm saying, Sister Sarah, that when we go to drifting, you know, we're subject to drift in areas that's uncomfortable to talk about, controversial stuff. And it's okay to say it's controversial, it's uncomfortable.
Well, I'm just learning.
But,
I'm still learning.
We shining a light in dark places here.
But
you know what I'm saying?
But as a newcomer, a person is new to the fight and to finding out who you are, I'm not ready for that yet.
Yeah, I understand. But this subject's not quite who you are. We all know we Israelites here. This one is just simply talking about our Messiah right now. Some of us believe that because he's from the seed of David, that means he doesn't have the quality to be the Son of God.
Oh, and some people believe
because he is walking on water and our Savior, that he must came in here in a magical way, that something that we couldn't do ourselves, right?
And we can't never
But my argument is he came in here just like us and kept these laws just like we do to the T.
He is our creator.
All I'm saying is that he came in here as the man, you know, just like us all. He came in this world just like us all. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
Can I get a word in? I want to read this one scripture. That's it. That's all I want to read. I'm just letting y'all know I'm not trying to argue this topic.
No, I don't want to argue neither. I really don't.
No. Okay. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. Just tell me who this is, who we're just talking about. Because the Bible says you think you have eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. The scriptures point to Christ. All the scriptures point to Christ. Just read that when you get a chance. When you get it.
Okay, I'm on my way to it. All right.
Yes,
sir. Hebrew. Book of Hebrew. Got Jonah. Okay. Oh, I must have passed it or something.
7:3.
Okay. Well, I'm passing it up or something. Hold on. Okay. Where are you at?
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3.
I'm still looking for it, brothers. I dug it. Okay, there we go. I'm in Hebrews now. All right. Let me find chapter 7.
Verse 3.
Okay. All right. I'm in chapter 7, verse 3. Okay, I'm ready. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually.
Who was made like unto the Son of God? I want to ask you that question.
That's Christ.
Yes. Who abided a priest forever, continually, forever?
That's Christ.
Yes. So this scripture is talking about Christ, right?
That's right.
It says, without father, without mother, without descendants, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Now, I'm just saying, Yahweh was God even before he came to this earth. You know, so his real father is not Joseph. Mary and Joseph was just, they was used for a task, you know, to bring the Son of God into the world, you know.
Right.
So he wasn't his real father. His real father was his father in heaven, you know, and that's all I want to say.
Yeah, and that's the overall picture that we need to get from that. And that's why Sister Thel was saying basically that this is, well, she didn't say it like that, but this is useless knowledge, you know. It doesn't alter anything. But I felt the need to just say my position on it, you know what I'm saying, because I'm just saying, I know they're in the store, the talking donkeys, and there's things like that, but when it comes to Israel genealogy, it said what it said. it's the seed of David is going to be in the throne. David is going to, it's prophesied in the Old Testament about David. David lineage. David, David, David. You see that over a bunch of times. All right? And David, David, David plays the key part about our lamb, our king, our high priest, right here, according to the flesh. All right? We can't ignore all those David references. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Okay? So if anything want to pull you away from all those references, I call that a fingerprint of the slave master or whatever. Somebody wants to throw you off to go against what's prophesied. All right? All right. So, yeah, with that scripture there, brother, that you had just read, it definitely that's Christ right there. However, but we know that when we read, there's sometimes you know, it can get up misunderstood, misinterpreted, because we know that Christ got the Father, right? And that's God, right? That's Yah, right? And he's from before time existed. So we know that in the beginning was the Word. So the beginning of the Word is when time starts, right? He's the beginning of time. That's Christ. His Father is before time was even created, right? Because he created the time. There's got to be a creator, and we know that's the Father. And Christ said to his disciples and everybody else listening that he sits on the right hand of the Father, all right? So, yeah, so that's that, right? So Christ isn't the Father. He's the Son of the Father. And this is, yeah, you're right, talking about Christ, you know. But he's basically putting him not in a fleshly, earthly manner. He's talking about his spiritual, you know, what he is to us. He's our lamb. He's for our sacrifice. And he's going to reign as high priest and king over us forever. All right. Well, that I think that's understood right there. Sister Thayer, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, okay, okay. All right. Okay.
As we go along, we still have to watch as believers. We still a lot of people teach false doctrine too. We have to be aware of that too, as followers of Christ. You know, because he don't want us to listen to false teaching. It's a lot of false teaching out there. I'm here to tell you, not just that. You know, but there's a lot of more false teaching out there. But I'm just saying, you got to be a student of the Bible to catch those things, to understand that, you know, everybody that's in this walk is not born again. They don't have the Holy Spirit, you know. So we got to understand
question.
That too.
Question. Well, the non-Messianic Israelites don't believe in that, according to that particular incident. Is that right?
That's right.
Because they don't believe that he's the son of he's from the David.
Well, the
and
church
think
put
that
out
he's,
that you'll find
that,
a right? common theme. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm interrupted. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When Christ comes, he gonna rectify all these scriptures that we asked about. So I'm not gonna worry about it, because he gonna lay everything down for us that we need to know the truth. it's not gonna be any lies in him. He gonna tell you the truth about everything.
That's correct. I really believe that. I believe when he come back, he gonna set the record straight. And some is going to say, well, you know, I thought, I believed, I this and that. And he's going it's just, he's just going to shake his head and say, you didn't open your heart. You didn't open your mind. You didn't feel me in your spirit. Because if you had me in your spirit, you know, you're going to take it all in. And these non-Messianic Israelites, they don't accept Christ. They don't think he was who he was. But when he comes back, then we'll all find out together, I hope and pray.
If you don't believe that, you're not gonna be saved. If you don't believe that, he's
no,
God.
Right?
He's simply that.
But what I wonder
is that.
Yeah, but you will see a common theme about those that come against the Bible, and the common theme they point out the virgin birth to be like, look at that, they're full of it over there, you know, and that's the. And as you can see, I'm not a virgin birther myself, right? We know the origins by just going to school in the Western world. We learned about the different people of this world, you know, the other Gentile nations and their beliefs, ancient beliefs, and way even before this story that we're reading takes place, even further back. We know they're pagans that have been roaming this earth way before, you know, since Noah, all right? And we see remnants of things that they done built, even echoes today with these pyramids and things like that. So this is something we can see with our eyes, all right, that pagans literally ran this world at one point. And the leader of all pagans who really got it started, the Bible calls him Nimrod. Well, we understand about these babies and stories of a woman getting pregnant without a man goes back far, very far. All right.
I'm asking a question, brother. Can the Most High do all things?
The Most High can do all things, brother. Yeah.
He asked a question in the Bible. Is there anything hard for God to do? And it says no. So if he can do anything, that means he can put the Holy Spirit inside a woman and she can conceive. He can do that.
Yeah, of course.
Without a man even touching her. He can do that.
That's right. He can do that.
We can't never say what God can't do.
No, we will never do that. That'll be foolish. The argument is not what God can't do. The argument now is what we're having now is, did God do that? See what I'm saying? That's the argument. Not what he can't do, but did he do it?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody has their own beliefs, and they believe in this, believe in that. I just believe in what I believe from reading the scriptures. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I understand, brother. I think I got what it takes to handle different point of views of the scriptures. I think I got what it takes, man, to sit across from somebody that believes totally different from me. And I believe that I got what it takes to say the right words to get us on the same path. Because as long as we start putting this wall up and saying, that's you over there and that's me over here, and I'm going to go my own way, how I see it, if we keep that frame of mind, we'll be divided.
Yeah, I think we're going to always be divided.
So what this show is about is knocking down that wall.
Yeah.
It's knocking down the wall.
Yeah.
Don't build a wall.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the controversial thing. And Sister Bell pointed out already that Christ is Christ, and he already did what he going to do. So this is kind of in the irrelevant category. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
It's basic, therefore, this is very well
a topic that why not dive into it, do what we want to it, right? Why not? Because we already know the outcome, right? We know who he is and what's all that about. That should be the road that connects us right there. But over here, what we're talking about is the foundations of that scripturally. And that should be something we should be able, as men and women, to sit down and talk about something that, well, kind of irrelevant, like what you're saying. I'm saying as a human being, he still can be Son of God. But some people feel like, in order to be my Son of God, he got to be a super alien, spiritual, coming in this world in a whatever, magical, all right, to be their Savior. I'm saying no. He could be a whole seed of David, just like described in the Bible, and still be my king. Okay? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, we know. Okay. We know that a regular man couldn't do what Christ did. He didn't see his sin one time when he walked this earth.
That's right. That's right. He did
his
sin
not one time. I'm just saying. Nobody can do that. Nobody can touch what Christ.
Well,
hold on.
Back up. Stop right there. Stop right there now.
Yeah.
Now, according to our laws, we got a list of laws, right? If you do every single one of these since you were born, that would make you perfect in the law, right? Walking up perfect,
yeah.
Never committed not one sin, right? You would be totally perfect,
yeah.
And that's what Christ has done. But Christ is not the only one in the scriptures who have lived their life obedient to every single law there was.
Who
right?
Has been there without
He's not. Zachariah.
Was he a sinner?
John the
Baptist's
dad. Huh?
I'm just saying, was he a sinner, though? Did he sin?
He did not sin.
Because perfect. Where is it at?
Well, let's go to, we'll see here.
I want to see that. Because the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned and come short.
I hear you. All right. But top of my head also, another one who walked upright, although he was missing one key ingredient, he told Christ that he's been doing the law since birth. So what can he do to get to heaven? You know what I'm saying? He's perfect in the law. And Christ told him, sell everything you own and then worship me. And he walked away bitter, you know. And that's another story of someone who kept the laws all the way to the T. So what did that mean? What I just said was saying that walking upright with the law is only half the battle. There's still more with our heart. That needs to be in play. You know, you can have complete knowledge of this law and be obedient to it, but still fall short. You know what I'm saying? That was a message toward that. But I'm going to Zachariah right now to find.
Can I ask a question,
brother?
Before you go
ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Christ told the rich man is one law that you did not keep. He believed in his money. He was a covetous. That's the one he got him on, that one. Yes. Because he said, go and sell all you have. No, when he was talking to the rich man, he said, go and sell all you have. He told the rich man that, and then he said, have eternal life. And the rich man told Christ, no.
All right. What law is that?
Huh?
What law is that you must sell all that you have?
He said he held on. He believed in his money instead of believing in Christ. It's called.
That's that dealing with the heart right there. That's not a law.
Yeah. It was a law.
You know what I mean? So that's my point is that was my whole point that even if you obey all these laws, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Well. We can't get right with God by keeping the law, because no man is perfect in the sight of God. Only God is perfect completely. No man. It says
Yeah, I know. I think even the golden Christ says, don't call me perfect. Only one is perfect, and that's God, and that's our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Is that the scripture you used for?
Yeah.
They were calling Christ perfect, you know, and Christ told them, hey, no man is perfect, only my Father in heaven. Why call me perfect, you know? That's what Christ told them.
We can't keep nobody. Nope. It's over. It's over. Some laws, and I don't think anybody can keep that without sinning that one time. Nobody did.
Okay, there were priests that did pretty good, brothers. Zachariah is one of them. I'm getting it. I'm looking, brother. I'm looking. All right. I'm looking for it. Give me a minute. Sister Dale, you got anything to chime in on so far?
No, I thought you might have had another caller.
Oh, dude, I haven't even been watching the call off. No other caller. If they did, they didn't came and hung up, I guess.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it's time to take a break, y'all. Let me take a break, and we'll pick right back up after the break, okay? Let's take a little break. Let me put everybody on hold, and let's take a little break. All right. Let's see here. What do I want to play? All right, let's play Royalty.
Royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them that fame, we do something we don't. Hurting people's pain, we do things that we won't. Wolfing she's clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. Yeah, that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty, yeah.
Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. You know who you are. Would you let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen? And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a pleasure for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the
dark
into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people.
Royalty,
kings and queens.
baby, you royalty. Lift your head, come back home, brother, you royalty. I would be the chosen people, but what was in you to me? His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Royalty.
All right, all right. Welcome back. Welcome back on this side of the break. Those listening around, the number is 563-999-3490. That's 563-999-3490. All right. Let's get back to it, y'all. This is we started the show. Just want to talk about this light movement. I think we're going to hit it again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Central Time. I think we're going to hit on this again, try to get it off, because right now, Spirit wants us to took us here, y'all. You know, that's why I usually start these so open discussions, because we just let it flow and drip where it's going. You know what I'm saying? And, but yeah, that's what we wanted to start the show off with, was Israel and just the whole movement. You know, what are we looking at here? What are we witnessing? What is it all about, you know? And what is it ain't? You know, but hey, the Holy Spirit wanted us to make Christ our conversation, you know, and seeking our Father's face and knowing more about our King that we call High Priest, you know, the Son of God sitting on the right hand, you know, He's our everything in our world, right? And the Holy Spirit wanted him to be our topic today, you know? So, hey, that's what it's all about, right? So with that said, let's get it started, y'all. Let's bring back on the panel.
All right, let me do, go here. Uh-oh, what'd I do? Oh, one second. Okay, I think I got it. Uh-oh. I don't see nobody. Okay, there we go. There go everybody. All right, let me open up the lines.
Great.
All right. See, nobody's number at first. So I have to kind of reboot it. Yeah. All right, good deal. I hope y'all enjoyed that song. That's one of the newest ones added to my list, Royalty by Molly Music. All right. Okay, so I found the scripture concerning Zechariah. All right. Let's see here. Am I on speaker? Yes, you're in. All right. Is that better? Yeah, I found that scripture, Brother Ronald.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brother Ronald, let's see here. I was making that case, that argument there, that Zacharias was an upright, walking, obeying the law type of guy, all right, since birth. All right? That was my argument. And to my understanding, this shows that he was perfect in it. He didn't use those words exactly, but, anyway, let me just read it. It's in St. Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, and verse 6. Let me know when you get there.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, chapter 1, verse 6. Let me start at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. All right? And I think that is saying that Zacharias, well, he was blameless. You know?
Yeah,
he was. There was no blame on him whatsoever.
Didn't they say didn't God say the same thing about Job?
Yeah, he sure did.
He did? Okay. Let me show you what he showed. What Job had to do. Job 42.
Hold on. But what is your point to it?
I'm just going to show you that we all sinners. That's my point.
Even though we walk
in the commandments, when Adam sinned, the Bible says sin fell on the whole creation. So anybody that comes out of Adam's seed is considered a sinner. Because it says that when Adam sinned, sin fell on all mankind.
So anybody wearing flesh.
Huh?
Anybody that's in flesh is a sinner.
Anybody that's in flesh. Anybody that comes out of the seed of man is a sinner. Out of a woman, out of woman. It's considered a sinner.
Okay, so you're saying that Christ was a
sinner? No, Christ wasn't a sinner. No, he wasn't.
Okay.
He wasn't like us.
Okay, did he come from a woman?
Yes, but he wasn't conceived like us. He wasn't.
I mean, what did that part got to do with? Okay, so you saying the sperm is what contains the sin?
Yes.
Not the woman. Not just being human. Not just being human.
Let me go see it right quick then. That's it.
I think there was only one Christ.
Yes, there is only one Christ.
Okay, so that's not going to be a duplicate Christ.
No.
Born of the Spirit.
Okay, I see y'all kind of oppose me on this right here. It's all right. It's in the book of...
Let's go.
All right.
Romans chapter. You got something?
No, you wanted to point out something in Job. I didn't... Okay, go to Romans,
Job
you say? Job chapter 42.
Yeah, verse 6. Because Job thought he was sinning too. God said, "Where was you at when I created the earth?" And he couldn't even answer. He couldn't even answer the Most High.
So God did speak in the clouds in Job.
No, he said, "Where was you when I created the earth?" He asked Job. He said, "Where was you when I created the earth?" He asked Job that question.
Was it from the clouds? Was that voice from the clouds?
No, I'm saying he spoke to Job on earth and asked him, what was you at?
I know, but was God on earth talking to Job? Or was it a voice from the clouds?
That was before Christ came.
I know. I'm talking about Job and God. Did God speak to him through the clouds?
I don't know how he spoke to him, but I know he spoke to him.
Okay.
You got it.
It's just the last show I was saying that okay, never mind.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Let's see, we'll go to Book of Job. Job. Job chapter 42, he say.
Just read that one verse 6.
Okay. All right. Job. Dang it, I'm in 41. Hold on, let me turn the page. All right, my page is sticking together here. Okay, verse 6. Wherefore abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
So,
Job 42.
He had to repent. He repented.
Job chapter 42, verse 6. Wherefore abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Yes. Because Job thought he thought he was sinless, which he wasn't. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. If you don't have nothing.
Nope.
Romans chapter 5, verse 12.
Okay, and now these scriptures you're going to is basically to show that Zacharias, did he tell Job that he was blameless?
Yeah, I think he did. I'm not for sure.
I don't know, but there's a couple of people in scripture that was blameless.
Yeah.
All right.
But they don't
okay,
mean
we're going to Romans. We're going to Paul right here. All right, let's go to Paul. All right, chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Yes, that one verse. So when Adam sinned,
death came into the world.
Yes, we was all up under the death penalty. He said all the men was under the death penalty. Now this was before Zechariah and when Adam sinned, because Adam was born, He was born perfect too. You know, but God knew that he was going to sin. He knew that he was going to sin as well, you know.
Yeah, but this is so everybody got to die. That's that sin. That's the sin is the death part. Okay.
Man was not supposed to die.
Well,
man was supposed to live forever.
Right, but we all got to taste death. Everybody
yes,
do.
Because of Adam.
Because of?
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so that's that point right there is what that's making. To me, I mean, that's what I get out of that.
Now, could you go to one more question?
You know.
Yeah, I'll let you have it.
Okay. Go ahead, bro.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verse 20, and that'll be my last scripture.
Not yet.
Okay.
All right, there we go. It said chapter 7.
Yes, verse 20.
Okay. All right. I'm at verse 20 right now. Let me see another page. Okay, 21 is another page. Okay. All right. Verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
That's all I want. That's all I wanted. Now. Man is,
okay,
man is a sinner. You know what I'm saying? That's what God said. I ain't saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but well, we don't want to cherry pick. Okay, we don't want to cherry pick. I know, but this is the whole subject that's being talked about right here in this chapter. But I know you go in there and you're like, oh, look what's said here. For there is not a just man, a justified man upon earth. There's not one just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So there's nobody on this planet that is a good person and seeing not. But over here, where we, in Zechariah and Luke down here, we see that Zechariah walked upright and blameless. And okay, but we're going to choose this little scripture over. You see what I'm saying? We got to make the Bible flow as one. I think that this scripture here, and this is talking about a certain subject, is connected to a certain subject. Let's go to the top of verse 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. So I read that first one just to kind of give you an understanding that these are wise words that's being said, all right? So not to say we can't quote from it, but just got to keep that in mind that these are wise understandings that are being put out there for us for our learning. You know what I'm saying? But we got to set these aside when it's scriptures point to a zoom in on a certain individual who, who's part of prophecy and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You got to put that scripture aside. It's just giving wisdom words, talk right there.
Let me ask you a question. Why did Christ come? What was his purpose of coming? What was his whole purpose?
To be our lamb? To be our lamb.
And what else?
To be. Okay, why don't you just lay it out, brother?
I'm just saying, Luke 1 says 68. Says, guess what he came to do? It says, bless. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who had to visit and redeem his people, and had raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
Hold on. Luke chapter 1.
Verse
68. And have raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. In the house of, okay. I mean, this is true. This is, I think it's leaning toward my point that we've been making all night. You know what I'm saying? That nobody around him viewed it like we view it today about his virgin birth.
So it says in verse 71, says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. So in the short term, he came to take away our sin. That's what he came to do, right?
Okay.
You agree with that?
I agree with a lot what you're saying, brother.
So if he came to take away our sins, that means that every person in this Bible was a sinner.
But we just established that death is a sin that we all got to be under. Christ conquered that sin.
Yeah, I'm just saying because even though you keep the law, we still live in this flesh as man. You know, Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So
that's Paul right there.
You remember Paul said, I see another law in my member.
Yeah. We haven't got around to this point yet, but what we got to do is sit down because I've been understanding, Brother Ronald, that Paul ministry is for the world, not just for Israelites. So a lot of his understanding that we get is for a worldwide perspective in leading them to Christ.
Yeah.
All right? But when you go to Peter, when you go to James and John, they are the opposite. You know what I'm saying? They're talking to Israelites, but the world can, you know, get some things out of there. So you see, it's kind of like you got to turn the glass upside down. See what I'm saying?
What are you trying to say? You trying to say that Israel
okay.
was sinning?
No.
You trying to say that?
I'm saying that Paul's ministry defines sin as the flesh.
Yeah.
But
I'm saying,
right.
John and Peter and James
define sins as the law.
Yeah, but I'm just saying this, that all sin is against the law of God. That's why God gave the law to show us our sins. Because even before the law came, sin was in the world. In Noah's day, they didn't have, you know, it was sin was still in the world, but they didn't have the Ten Commandments until God gave it to Moses. But they still have some commandments, you know. But all I'm trying to say, brother, is that only God is perfect. You know, we are just human beings. That, you know, even though we can keep the commandments, they don't mean that we can't, that we don't sin, that we can't commit no sin. It's not saying that, you know, because Christ was the only one that, I'm just saying, Christ was the only one that walked this earth, and he didn't sin not one time when the devil tempted him. I'm just saying, in this flesh, we're not able to do that. And nobody,
gotcha.
And that's all I'm trying to say, because if we was able to do that, that means that we could save ourselves. Christ ain't have to.
I hear you.
We don't need
bro.
No savior. That's all. I'm just making
okay.
it plain. Yeah. If man was able to not sin, that means that he wouldn't need no savior. And we know that's not possible. You know, living in this world.
Gotcha.
That's all I got to say.
Right. Yeah. So my whole point is, though, that there was people following this very law that we're trying our best to keep right now in this world. They were living in it. They grew up in it. They had the synagogue. They had the high priest, you know. They had all of those things, right? They had their culture. Yeah, so out of all those people, there are some people who's able to live their life, keep staying right in the rules. But when Christ started walking around and bumping into these people, we seen that it wasn't quite in the law that they broke. The fact that they couldn't, like this one instance with the rich man, he couldn't get away from his money. He did what the law said to do, though. He's supposed to give charity. His family gives charities every year. That's what the law said to do. But when Christ showed them that, hey, sell all that you have and follow me. You see what I'm saying? That's something that he feel like he couldn't do. That's nothing, you know, that Moses didn't say to do that. Right? Christ saying that I am the lamb. That's going to change the game here. All right? And this is how you get to heaven. Right? Because your heart, everybody's hearts are stony and need to be circumcised in the heart. Your heart ain't right. You got this dire love for you. Love money is your God, really. You know, that's what was kind of revealed. That his all that he is riches in this world mattered more to him than following Christ. But if you want to point out who perfect in the law, I can say he's perfect in the law. You know, that man there, But what Christ revealed to us that you can be perfect in the law and still be in error. And still be in error.
Yeah.
If your heart is
and
not
he did,
right.
And he didn't receive salvation. He walked away. He walked away for salvation.
He didn't get eternal life. That's right.
You know, that's what it all comes down to. Who you believe? Are we going to believe in Christ? Or are we going to believe in ourselves? At the end of the day, that's how it's going to come down to. Because without Christ, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So are we going to believe
right.
in what we can do, or in what the Holy Spirit can do to us? You know.
That's right. So now it makes you understand.
Yeah.
And so now we understand Paul a little bit better. What he's want to teach the Gentiles is, don't put that burden of the law on them that we ourselves stumble and mess up with, you know what I'm saying, barely can keep ourselves, you know, falling short on. Let's make flesh the sin for them over there, right, for the Gentiles. Flesh, your skin is your sin. All right? So that's why in Peter it says, be careful reading Paul. Be careful. It'll lead you to your destruction. All right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So that's one thing you need to understand. Are you a Gentile or Israelite? You need to have that. You need to know what's up. Because you can be in total error. You know, not total error, but you could be falling short in a specific era that could lead to your demise, your destruction. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's kind of like my whole point in that. And let me see how much time we got left, y'all. Okay, we got 11 minutes, 43 seconds. How about everybody kind of give their take on today's show? And as we wrap up. Brother Ronald, you want to go first?
Yeah, I go first.
Okay.
As Israelites today, you know, we're just waking up to this truth. You know, I don't know everything. I don't know everything according to the scriptures. I'm still learning myself. So I'm just putting my faith in Christ, you know, and try to keep the commandments the best of my ability. You know, I'm trying to enter into the kingdom, into those 12 gates. Yeah, that's my objective, you know, and that's what I want to see my brothers and sisters do as well. So I'm just putting my faith in Christ for what he done on at Calvary for us. You know, so that's all I have to say.
Okay. Sister Thale, are you with us?
Yes, I'm still here, and I'm just listening because, you know, I'm waking up. I'm waking up to the culture, to being an Israelite. I'm coming out of Christianity, and yes, emotionally, it's a lot of things you can't put down, and there's really not a lot of things, not a big difference, because when you're talking about Gentiles, and then you're talking about the Israelites, and you see Paul was administering to both, because a lot of the Israelites were of themselves as Gentiles. So all I'm saying is that I'm a child of the Most High, and the Messiah is my Savior. And I'm going to do and try to learn everything I can and try to make good decisions and keeping up with the commandments and the statutes. According
Amen.
To the, yeah, and that's, I'm just going to keep that faith, and I'm going to continue the travel. I definitely don't know all, and I know that, you know, we're emotional. I get emotional, and let me just also say that because of the circumstance and what we were talking about today, it's just that I grew up not knowing who my biological father was, but I didn't think it defined who I was. I really thought that the Most High is my Father, and I believe that in all things that are spiritual. And so I was counting the flesh and man and things that we do in our daily lives in the era of human beings, how they don't consider so much, so many things that I had to set myself apart and think on things that are spiritual. And so that was a little emotional for me today, but you know, I appreciate listening, and you're right. These things can be a little uncomfortable, but it's good to hear the opposition, and then to have peace with it all. You know, and we live and learn.
Amen.
So I just thank you for
okay.
that. I just
all
thank
praises,
you for that.
All praises.
Yeah.
All praises. All right. Well, you know, as you know, the show started off with the point of what is this Hebrew is like movement, what it is, what it ain't. But the Holy Spirit took us here, y'all. The Holy Spirit wants to speak on Christ, you know, because that's ultimately what it is. Hebrew is like movement. Christ is our king, y'all. He's our high priest. He's our lamb who's going to forgive us, who's going to be between the Father and us, all right? He's that sacrificial lamb. And with his blood, the Father will open up the gates to us. That's what we believe, man. He's going to wipe away all the sin in our lives. But today's subject, we was diving deep on the mechanics behind it. Christ's lineage, you know. His deity status. Okay, was he a man? Was he some angelic being that came upon us? You know, like Sister Thel was kind of pointing out in the middle of the show, it's just kind of irrelevant. We know that he's our lamb. He's our he's our sacrifice for sin. You know, so who cares if he's from the lineage of David or not? You know, and I she didn't say it like that. I'm just saying, she's right in a lot of ways. You know, we can argue for days and go for months and won't talk to each other no more because of something that's kind of irrelevant. But what my point is that you forget all that you have learned in life and start over. And there's a bunch of references and going from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, showing that David, all through there. And that's not to be ignored. So they're written in there for a reason. All right? He made it for David's sake. David. All right. So we know David is associated with Christ as being a king. You know what I mean? It's just, that's in there for a reason. I'm not saying that it's very important to, you know, to be arguing over, but we need to reset that. However, if we don't, we can still meet in the middle of the road by saying Christ is our Savior and our Lamb. And that's the middle of the road right there. But it's good to try to come as we walk together. We want to walk together, right? And everything we're not going to agree on, but that's okay. That is okay that we don't agree on everything. You know what I'm saying? It's not a private interpretation. You know what I'm saying? One person says what it is, but on this show, you let it out. Tell us what you believe. You know, let us consider it. You know, let us hear it. And that's what was done today. I gave y'all where I'm at with it, you know. And that's what the Holy Spirit kind of wanted. And just looking back on our conversation, I guess that's what the Holy Spirit wanted to achieve with the show tonight, to show us that there are people out there arguing over things that could be reconciled. You know, it's not that big of a deal, you know. And why our brothers and sisters are not united. They're over a little stuff. You know what I mean? So, but it's those type of differences that keeps us separated. Okay, so with that being said, I want to play my jam, y'all, everyday people, because that's what I am, Me and Sister Sam, Brother Ronald, we are everyday people, all right? Just like you that's listening. And we're seeking the Father's face, all right? Brother Ronald, he represents Lost Found Israelites in the Forest Hill area outside of Fort Worth. And me and Sister Thale, we don't belong to any camp. But, man, we're considering Lost Found. We're considering all the different camps that's around in our area right here. But where we at right now, there's not a camp here. So that means we got to travel. And that complicates things. But it's all right, though. We can still virtually come together. They got a virtual show, Lost Found Israelites, on Facebook Live and on YouTube. They're out there. And, so there's just ways to connect. All right? There's ways to connect. And we're definitely looking forward going forward, connecting. And see what comes of all this, right? All right, so with that said, y'all, let me put y'all on hold, and I'm going to play my Everyday People Jam, and we just going to, until next time, right, Thursday at 5 o'clock. All right? Shalom, shalom, family.
Yeah.
All right.
Shalom.
Let's go on in this show. All right. Let's see here.
Alpha BMW. Hey! And like I said before, I was mad by it. It took three or four.